In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Brothers and sisters, today is what's called Cheese Fair Sunday, Forgiveness Sunday. Remember the expulsion of Adam from paradise, Adam and Eve from that place of bliss. And when I was preparing my homily for this week and reading the St. John Chrysostom and all the Holy Fathers, I came across, in the midst of having most of it prepared, one of the most beautiful homilies I ever read by a recent elder, Elder Johann John Christiankin, who was the elder of the Pskov Caves Monastery in Russia. He died in the 80s and was a very holy man. When I read his homily, I said, I can't do it better and I won't even try. Now, that's as Orthodox Christians. We're not trying to be inventive as priests. We just stand on the shoulders of giants. So with that, I'm just going to read these incredible words about where we're at right now in this holy time. The quickly flowing river of time rushes on to eternity. Only the Holy Church and God's feasts stop this motion momentarily, as if counting the time. And our entire life, from our birth to departure from this life, is reflected in this yearly cycle. It reminds us and calls to us, know yourself, look inside yourself, O man. Well, who are you? How do you live? And what awaits you ahead? You are rushing headlong with this flow of time to timelessness, to eternity. So it is, brothers and sisters, every day, every year. Was it so long ago that the cry of the human heart, languishing in sins, rang out in the church on those few weeks ago? Open to me the doors of repentance, O giver of life. Our hearts trembled. The fast was already in the air. We could smell it. But now the weeks of preparation for our field of repentance in Great Lent have passed, when the Pharisee and the publican were the mirrors of our souls, when we called out to the Heavenly Father with the voice of the prodigal son, recognizing also our distance from the truth, our departure to a faraway land. O God, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Make me one of thy hired servants. Last Sunday, a reminder of the terrible and glorious last judgment of the Lord, when the book shall be opened and everyone's secrets revealed. Not yet frightening us, it calls us to knowledge of ourselves, to repentance. And now here we are, at the last day of the threshold before Great and Holy Lent. On this day, the Church remembers the terrible tragedy that happened to mankind at the dawn of its history, its expulsion in the person of our forefather Adam from the face of God, the expulsion of Adam from glorious paradise. The veil of tears and sadness, the earth received the outcast, so that at God's commandment, the transgressor would do what? Reap thorns and thistles, that he would eat his bread in the sweat of his brow, so that in pain, tears, and sadness, he would give birth to his children and feed them, so that he would reap all the bitter fruits of his disobedience to his heavenly Father. Adam wept. You see the icon in the middle of the church. You see Adam and Eve weeping, being expelled from paradise. Sitting outside of paradise, he wept, remembering what he was, what he possessed, and who he lost. To this day, all mankind weeps and sighs over the first Adam, over the now elusive phantom of happiness. The whole world, harassed and weary, weeps because of its waywardness, because of its naked soul, because life is aimless and joyless. Nothing can fill our life so that we might unconditionally feel the fullness of truth, not phantom, happiness. For this fullness is only in God. But we are exiles. Paradise is far away. And the farther mankind lives from the time of the fall, the more shadowy that beautiful image of paradise becomes in him. The deeper is mankind's pain and suffering, and the more the image and likeness of God is erased from his soul. The world would have perished so long ago had not the great second Adam, Christ, reopened, locked paradise, and given every soul the opportunity to return to it. We now bear the weight and sorrow of the life of an exile. Even we, you and I, who lived the life of the church, we know also the paradisal joy of the open royal doors, of the life-creating jubilant words of Christ is risen. We've experienced that. In them is the original nearness to divine love for man. But preceding this kind of joy of paradise at Pascha, on this earth is Great Lent. And the church continually teaches that what we have lost through sin, we lose a lot, we can find and regain it in one way only, in repentance. In this word he calls podvig, which means ascetical labor, and through pushing ourselves in control and temperance. Just a few hours will pass today, and we'll notice with amazement that something will change around us, in the church, and hopefully within us. Something will happen that will place a seal of particular concentration and attention upon everything. And along with the church, we must pass from the call to repentance, the preparation for repentance, to the very work of repentance itself, the labor. Our mother church received the Lord's commandment of the healing fast, which could be heard in Old Testament times from the prophet Joel. Listen to this. Now, therefore, saith the Lord your God, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with lamentation. Sanctify a fast, proclaim a solemn service, assemble the elders, and all the inhabitants of the Lord's house. Let the priest that minister to the Lord weep and say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, began the path of his work, of his labor. How did he do it? With a great 40 days fast. So that why did he do it? By divine love for fallen man, he might open locked paradise and show the way for us fallen people to return to it. The Holy Gospels say this, that then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And amazingly, the devil came to tempt him. The living God, great is the audacity and the blindness of the dark power. Having made progress in tempting man in paradise, it began to wage war against God, unto blindness, not even recognizing in the person of Jesus, the Son of God. It reproached and approached his meekness, the Lord's humility, patience, purity, and holiness, trying to tempt him with the dark temptations woven from pride, betrayal, conceit, lies. But our sinless Christ God, who needs no purification, he opposed the tempter with fasting and prayer, showing all of us, you and me, every human soul who want to follow him on the path of struggle and sin, how to do it. And the Lord confirmed by word and deed that demons only go out how? By prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting, the Christian receives what? Why do we do this? We receive the strength of the Spirit of the Lord for his struggle with the enemy. Through fasting and prayer, a Christian receives the gift of discernment and the mind of Christ. Prayer and fasting lights the light, which casts out the darkness of our sinful lives. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it. But by his will, by our will, man chooses between a path of corruption and incorruption, good and evil, our choice. If woe and suffering and death and corruption entered into life through the sin of disobedience to God by Adam and Eve, then only through the opposite, not disobedience, obedience, prayer, fasting, our total living sacrifice of our love for God, it can light the supreme way for us. Righteousness, peace. That's how joy comes back to a human soul. And this, my dear ones, is paradise on earth. However, according to God's commandments, love for God on earth only manifests itself as love for people. The heart of a Christian can warm itself and burn only with a two-in-one love for God and people at the same time. If our heart is hard and cruel toward our brother, to man, then darkened by dislike, coldness, cruelty, it becomes indifferent toward God. And paradise, which could have been so close, in our heart it leaves and it fades, and the sin of the lack of love gives birth to disobedience, conceit, ego, and self-love. But how can we love a sinner, some say? How can we love those who don't love us, our enemies, those who hurt us? Here also the Lord today comes to our help. He gives us the Lord's Prayer. Every day, hopefully multiple times a day, we hear this: forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So what is the Lord saying by this prayer? Look at yourself. He's saying, after all, you're that debtor that needs to be forgiven. You're that very sinner. You're the one who doesn't love. You love by choice. You are someone's enemy. You have offended someone, had contempt for someone, humiliated someone. You yourself need forgiveness. You need this condescending love. The words of today's gospel are so powerful. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And if you don't, neither will He forgive you. Forgive everyone everything, and you'll be forgiven. Forgive, and you'll be saved, and you'll inherit paradise. Following immediately, what does the Lord say? Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. And the Father say, in these short words, the Lord gives a sure path to salvation, which opens, it blows open the gates of heaven. The Lord shows us that virtue, we can labor, we can pray, we can fast, we can prostrate, all of great Lent, it'll be in vain if you don't have forgiveness. This is the only path, the path of love for people, beginning with non-judgment. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. In His first coming, the Lord came not to judge the world, but to save it. He says that often. He came to open locked paradise to us all. After all, God gave all judgment to His Son in the second coming. But for now, mercy rejoices against judgment. Listen, this is so powerful what He says. Now is still the time of God's mercy. God still has mercy on us. But we, sinners, judge and enforce. Having no doubts at all, we lift up ourselves in opinion and judgment over our neighbors, both near and far, small and great. We judge thinking we know so much. We judge when we know nothing at all. We judge from other people's words. Just think, my dear ones, our judgment, as the judgment of an enemy, extends even to the Savior Himself. A person, let's say, has sinned before God. We all see sinners. And before people, we witness sin. But we didn't see their repentance. We didn't see that quiet time in the church on a Wednesday when they were kneeling and weeping over their sins, and the priest reading those words, "May God forgive you in this world and in the world to come." So God's mercy has already erased the handwriting of that person's sins. And yet you don't know that. And you continue to judge and remember that person's sins. Brothers and sisters, this is no longer the sin of judging a person. Now you've moved over to judging God, who's been merciful and forgiving. Thus, we perish, kill ourselves by judgment. For where there is judgment, there's no love. Only love is capable of being at all times an advocate. And only love can cover our brothers and sisters' nakedness. But we judge, for sure. And this judgment becomes our own condemnation, our own sentence, which sounds like this from the Old Testament: "For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy." And paradise can't receive us, brothers and sisters, for we have no love in us. Where there is no love, there's no salvation, and there's no paradise. Today, on this day, beginning with this great ascetical labor of great Lent, let us, friends, resolve two major spiritual lessons. Do not judge and do not tempt. Why? That we might root in ourselves in saving, blessed, the beautiful non-condemnation. That we might place a beginning of this holy time during the first days of the fast. We must learn to see and judge and condemn only ourselves. The only person that we truly know from all sides, deeply, This is where judgment without mercy will help us to salvation. For this is the only judgment that will lead us to true reason. It gives us a vision of that abyss that we all stand upon, and which we dig out by our sins, our debts to God and to people, of our condemnation of others. This judgment of ourselves, repentance, will tear a living, saving cry from our hearts that will reach the heavens. Lord, have mercy on me. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And at that moment, the miracle of salvation begins. The Lord then will console our repentant hearts with peace and calm and love. In the words of the great elder, St. Seraphim of Sarov, acquire the spirit of peace and thousands around you will be saved. Transformation will begin in the life around us. We said today in Great Lent, we'll say, now is the springtime of the soul. Holy and Great Lent is at the door. May the seed of our repentance and prayer sprout forth by it and produce the saving fruits of our soul's resurrection in God. Children of God, he says, he ends in this way, may your mind fast from vain thoughts. May your will fast from evil desires. May your eyes fast from seeing evil. May your ears fast from inappropriate, base songs and gossipy whisperings. May your tongue fast from slander, condemnation, lies, flattering, and foul language. May your hands fast from striking and from stealing what does not belong to you. May your feet fast from walking to do evil deeds. This is the Christian fast, which the Lord expects of all of us. My friends, let us enter the great fast tomorrow. Let us enter the field of ascetic labor, repentance, confession, temperance, and humility, and confirm ourselves in them, maybe for the first time. So that why? Having lived this life, having truly experienced forgiveness and given it to others, we may unlock that secret. That we judge no one but ourselves. And in this secret, we may meet Christ's resurrection, his holy Pascha, of which there is nothing more radiant on this earth. Brothers and sisters, may we not judge, that God may not judge us in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.